I asked Neil to read that scripture as I was reading it this past week, just reading. And verse 24 came to my eyes, and I, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." I was thinking back on the message last Sunday morning, considering keeping the commandments of God, the Lord, and knowing that there's not one person, save for the Lord Jesus Christ, that has ever, in word, thought, and deed, been perfectly obedient. You know that. But God's people are striving after obedience. Someone says, "What's the commandments of God?" I think about when Mary came to the Lord at Cana of Galilee at the wedding, and she said, "We're out of wine." And he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And you know, remember, do you remember what she told the folks? She says, "Whatever he says, do it." When we look in the scriptures and we behold these sayings, these words of our Lord, I'll tell you this, only a believer will admit, "The will is present with me, but how to accomplish that which I would, I find not." But there's a striving after obedience to God's people. Okay, turn with me to Hebrews 2. Let's look at the scriptures for a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 2. In chapter 1, when we're coming right up, I'm going to look at verses, Lord willing, 1 to 4. But in chapter 1, we had heard that God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last days, he has spoken unto us by Son, who the Scriptures reveal in verse 2 is the appointed heir of all things, by whom the worlds were made. Verse 3 says he's the brightness of God's glory, express image of his person. He upholds all things by the word of his power, having purged the sins of his people. The scripture sets forth that he sat down on the right hand of the majesty and high. Verse 4 told us that he's made so much better than the angels, and by inheritance, by that which God has given him as the Son of Man, he's obtained a more excellent name than they, the angels. All the angels worship him. Verse 8, Father acknowledged him as God. His eternal reign is established in righteousness. He's the anointed one with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Verse 12 says, as a vesture concerning this creation, he's going to fold it up. They're going to be changed, but not him. He never changes. Now, these truths that we've considered in that first chapter establish the exhortation that we have tonight in Hebrews 2. Verse 1 says, therefore, based on what we've heard and read and studied and considered in that first chapter, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. from the final spokesman of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Because He is the one that has spoken. How needful, how important, how imperative it is for these things to be in our remembrance. I read those words and I think to myself, even as I'm just thinking right now, I'm thinking, Lord, by Your Spirit, bring these things to my memory. Cause me to give an earnest heed, an earnest heed, superabundantly given consideration. That's what that means, superabundantly. We ought, it is necessary, we must. This is not just good advice. That's just not a fleeting. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. To hear and not give heed is dangerous. Eternally dangerous. Our hearing must be prayerful. When we come to assemble ourselves together, God forbid that we should assemble ourselves together and not ask the Lord to bless the hearing. God forbid that I should stand in a pulpit and not ask the Lord to bless the preaching. God forbid. To stand up and just, as I've said before, I got a set of notes right here. I've gone over them. I've written them. I've rewritten them. I rewrote them today. God forbid that I should stand up here and think that just because I have a set of consistent notes, that necessarily secures the fact that God's going to bless it. I've said before, I can't, but somebody probably could train a parrot to probably quote Scripture. It's not by our ability. We pray this evening that God Almighty bless His Word. We ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, there's two. Let me read you what the literal of that is. For this reason, it is needful for us more abundantly to take heed to the things having been heard, that we should not slip away. That was the literal of that. But also, there's a meaning that could also say this, lest we let slip the things which we have heard. By nature, we are so prone to let slip the things that we hear. I just so often when someone will ask me a question, and I know it's something I preached on, and they'll say, so-and-so, a passage of Scripture. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I've got to go look that up again. I'll tell them, let me just give me a little bit. Let me look it up. I'm so sorry. And I'm thinking, this is words of imperative thought. And I'm so prone to let them slip. But I know this assuredly, that if He doesn't keep me, if He doesn't give me a heart to give a more earnest heed to the things that I've heard, if He doesn't keep me, I'll slip. I'll walk away. I'll leave. I can turn and show you scriptures where there were some, and it was talking about, and the scriptures referred to them and said there were disciples. They were followers. And as the Lord began to preach, and He set forth, and He told them, these wonderful truths of God's sovereign grace. No man can come unto me unless it were given unto him of my Father. No man can come. No man has the ability. No man, without me, you can do nothing. And it said, and some of them heard those things, and they said, you know, that's a hard saying. Who can hear that? And it said, and they followed him no more. Turned to the disciples, and he said, will you go away also? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And we're sure that you're the Christ. You know the difference in those two? The grace of God. But for the grace of God, anybody in this room will walk away. You'll walk away. And you'll justify it. You will justify leaving. You'll be right in your mind. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. God Almighty must keep us. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. For if, verse 2, the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and I'll just stop right there and we'll go into the next verse in a second. But it's a continuance in verse 3 of what the thought. But here's, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now, what we're about to consider is something that we're going to have to just say that this is what the Scripture says. And we're going to take God's word against our own, if we're wise. Will take His word against us. If the word spoken by angels, the Scripture bears out that at the giving of the law on Sinai, Almighty God was pleased to use the medium of angels. And the attending of their ranks, their ranks were there at the giving of the law. Now let me make good on what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, and I'm gonna set forth what the Scriptures sets forth. And I'll tell you like old Robert Hawker says sometimes. He said, Let me set forth what the Scripture says. And he said, I'll trust the Spirit of God to give us understanding on it. In Psalm 68, verse 17, here's what the Scripture says. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Now, from that Scripture, we know that myriads of angels were present at the giving of the law. And the Scripture sets forth, and the Lord is among them, in their midst. as in Sinai. Now I want you to turn to Acts 7, verse 52. Acts 7, verse 52, 53. Acts 7, verse 52 and 53. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now, the word disposition, it actually means the instrumentality, or by the medium, or by the arrangement of. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. I looked up ordained by. It means through the channel of. So this is what we know. And I'm going to go back down to Hebrews 2:2 in just a second. But we know that the law was given by God Almighty. You know that. It was the Lord Himself, God Almighty, by His finger, wrote the law in tables of stone, tablets of stone. When He wrote that law, He was pleased to use or have in the midst the instrumentality of angels. That was His good pleasure. I can sit here and I can read these words and I can tell you when it says by the disposition in Acts 7, by the disposition of angels, I can tell you what that word means. It means by the instrumentality. I can tell you that Psalm 68:17 says the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord's among them as in Sinai in the holy place. I know that the law was added because of the transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by or through the channel of. Now you see why I'm saying that. Let me set forth what the Scripture says, and I pray the Spirit of God give us some understanding. But back here in Hebrews 2:2, this is exactly what the Word of God says. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and that's the law, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. If the word spoken by or through, here again, and I'm not using these words, I'm being very, very careful what I say, because I don't want to say anything that I can't back up with a good Greek dictionary, trying to be as sensitive. I wouldn't stand here, Mark, and say something knowingly wrong. If I knew that I had said something knowingly, said something, and it was inconsistent, I'll be the first to apologize to you, and I'll be the first to come back and just say, I was wrong on that. But I'm telling you what the words set forth. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, was firm, was sure, and every transgression, outward act of rebellion, and disobedience, inward act of the heart, received a just recompense of reward. That is to say, if the word spoken through or among angels is firm and sure, and every violation in word, thought, and deed shall receive its just due. If one point, if you offend in one point of the law, the Scripture says you're guilty of all of it. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's just look at that part first. How shall we escape if we neglect Christ? So great salvation, as He has set forth in the Holy Scriptures. If we neglect, if we're careless, you make light of, or you're negligent with, so great salvation. Well, you know, when we read those words, so great salvation, think of the demand of God's law. The law of God demands absolute, strict obedience. And the absolute, strictest continuance in that law. No deviation. And I think about people that talk about something that they've done in order to establish their salvation. They walk down an aisle and everybody, listen. If there was one deviation in your attitude, in your commitment, if you ever deviate in word, thought, or deed, anything, that walking down the aisle, all that means is that you went anywhere from about 3 feet to 40 feet. That absolutely means nothing. The law does not deviate. Absolute death, inflexible in its demands. And there was no remittance of any of its penalty. The soul that sins, it dies. Hebrews 10:28 said, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." So what does it mean when we read the words, so great salvation? If the word spoken by angels, if the word administered, if the word given among or given in the midst of or with the myriads of angels when God Almighty at Sinai in the holiness of His being wrote, gave the law, that law, if that law was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if you make light of, if you neglect, if you're negligent with so great salvation? That salvation set forth in the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's grace shown to God's people, the elect of God. That great salvation that's manifested in the Scriptures that reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to be the author and finisher of our faith. That so great salvation that sets forth that this law, that every transgression and disobedience that received a just recompense of reward, that so great salvation that was satisfied that law for a people that was everlastingly loved. One way. He said, I am the way. I'm the life. I'm the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. How are you going to escape? That salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. The essential Word of God. The first gospel preacher first gospel preacher. The Word Himself. First. You say, well, I thought, there wasn't preachers before the Lord Jesus Christ got here? Before Abraham was, I am. The gospel was first spoken by the Word Himself, God Himself. It was the Word Himself that spoke to Adam and Eve, who at the first. It was the Word Himself that preached to Noah. God's only spoken in His Son. God speaks by Christ. All the prophets, it was the Lord. He came into this world, declared Himself to be the one of whom the Scriptures spoke. That's what He told the two on the road to Emmaus. He is the revelation. Look at Luke 4:16. He came into this world, Luke chapter 4. One day He was in the synagogue and they asked Him to read the Scriptures. Luke 4:16. He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was. Now you think about this, where He'd been brought up. Now they watched this boy. That's Mary and Joseph's boy. I think they call Him Jesus. He's got some brothers and sisters. We know them. We know their family. His daddy's a carpenter. He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now you remember this. He was reading out of the Old Testament. He's reading out of Isaiah. He's reading this in the present. And He closed the book and He gave it again to the minister, and He sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord to Adam and Eve and Abraham and Noah and all the prophets, Moses, and then in time, like that Word was made flesh. It was always there. His Word was made flesh. And the Scripture says He came preaching. And that which was spoken by the Lord was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God, verse 4, bearing them witness. The Lord God of heaven confirmed the preaching and the work of the Messiah by those who were eyewitnesses. That's what the apostles said. John says, I touched Him. I've handled the Word of life. Walked with Him. I saw Him. I was there. I saw Him take 5 loaves and 2 fish. Fed 5,000 men, women and children, plus the women and children. I saw him. I saw him walk on water. I saw him. Those that the Lord used as true witnesses had no other reason to be witnesses except for His glory and honor. It cost all of them their life. They exposed themselves by God's grace, power, to persecution. So there was no earthly reason for them to be His witness. There's no reason tonight. I mean, this gospel that we preach, the gospel of free grace, this is the most unpopular religious to the world. This is the most unpopular religious preaching they could possibly think of. But to you that believe, this is the power of God unto salvation. And the Lord bore witness to those who bore witness to Christ in this way. God bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. That's a question mark right there. It starts off in verse 3. That's where it's a question. Verse 3 and 4. That's why there's a question mark there. He bore witness with them. Signs of His gracious presence with them, wonders beyond the power of any man to be able to perform. Divers miracles, these mighty works and gifts of the Holy Spirit. They bore witness of Him. Not like the workings of Satan and these false people nowadays. They're claiming that these miracles are still in existence. You know, I don't see the Peter that raised his mother-in-law that God raised from the dead by Peter. Was it Peter and James that walked up into that temple and that beggar was sitting there and he was lame. He was lame, asking alms. And these two preachers came up and Peter said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." There are many that say that these miracles are still in existence today. God confirmed those that heard Christ by His miracles and signs and wonders and proved who these men were, confirmed the message. The New Testament had not been written. And there was a confirmation. How shall we escape if we neglect, make light of so great salvation, which first began to be preached by the Lord and was confirmed unto us that heard Him? How shall we escape? May Almighty God be pleased to bless these words to our heart and grant us a heart, truly, to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we should let them slip. For Christ's sake, amen. Gary, would you lead us?